Hold! What do you mean, no?
Gigantic pipe organ.
Shut up!
Play with cymbals.
Hold it. You may be captain of your own house, chick, but here I'm in charge.
Hold it. Do you notice the manic intensity that's beginning
to
develop?
Look at him pacing like a tiger up here.
27 states are clinging to this tiny little island of Manhattan.
He's got 55 minutes to go. 27 states.
Iowa wishes to devil it was here.
Without warning,
you know how
suddenly it comes out of darkness like a bolt of lightning.
What is it?
Just
is it
knowing
that there
is
a New York.
No, it's...
Yes. No wonder they hate us. No wonder they walk around town and take pictures to show them back home.
Let's
how it could
Robert
be if Columbus would only grow up.
Hey, for Moses.
Hold back.
Everybody's
can
on
I
Robert
please
Moses.
Have a symbolic
give
giggle
hello
for the chick.
To Robert Moses. Hello, Bob. Hi, Bob.
Beautifully
where
done.
Where are the people, Bob? There's, hi.
There's a pregnant pause.
Remember us?
Down
the
here
guys
in the limelight. Well, it's more than a pregnant pause. We're here in the steaming, fetid jungle of New York's Greenwich Village.
Out.
A veritable human cake of flesh
really,
and
there
meat.
There are two kinds of guys. There are guys that shell
bubbling
out, and
and hissing
the other
and
kind.
Steaming. The search for truth goes on.
You know?
And beauty.
Would you like to own the George Washington Bridge
and
for 10 minutes?
Simplicity of existence.
Say at about 5:30 in the evening with Fred Feldman
all
flying
set?
Over. One and two. Oh, he goes over
three.
There just to wait to see for the crash. He loves it, you know. Yeah, he's a great automobile accident fan. You ought to see Freddie. Says,
no.
There's a big one down there on the... Oh, boy! It's on fire! Whoa!
They're very terrible.
Say, at
6:30. Listen, can you imagine some guy walking
Friday
down 14th
night,
Street?
When 9 million guys are trying to
and
make
and out
it
of the blue,
Lake
suddenly he hears,
and you put up a big sign that says $10.
This is another demonstration.
Without any warning, you know, tonight only.
And in
special.
A nutty way, it is, you know. Speaking of demonstrations, since we are on the air now until
you know,
midnight...
That is
you
true.
From the
have you ever
Village.
Seen anybody use one of those guns?
I'm going
to
give you a
quarters?
Warning.
Yeah, they
this
got a gun
going
to
not
quarters,
beat
you know, for
the women
the
and children.
You know, you just shoot them into the
you know
little thing, a basket that says
I
exact
said
change
women and
lane.
Children.
You know,
look at the
you
whole
know,
audience.
There's nothing
left.
More terrifying than to get into the exact
oh,
change lane.
Oh, no, no,
lane.
No, secretly. Let's face it. Outside tonight.
You know
stalking
what's coming,
the streets is the pure
and
animal,
you get up there and you got your $10
sizzling,
bill.
Hungry, rushing
you knew
lust
you had a quarter and
of
it
the
disappeared.
First true summer night.
You know, there it is, you're looking and everybody
it's
in your prize. Anybody
degrees
got a quarter?
Today.
And they're all sitting there in bathing suits.
What does
you
that
know?
Do to us? Don't you feel it inside?
And the line
you?
Stretches all the way to Trenton.
Out there in those streets... Just on the
well,
other side of
you know,
Sheridan
I've always
Square,
felt
all around, there's this
the
great
true bravery
surging
in our time
mass of humanity
is not measured
walking
by
back
fighting
and forth
dragons.
And the moon is hanging up above
and it's very
us.
Difficult for a guy today to
it's
go out and beat
ready.
A saber-toothed tiger into the ground.
Yes, friends.
But real bravery,
I want
you
to you put your hands on
bravery,
that radio.
Genuine bravery. There's a line of cars behind
would
you.
Would you come on, come on
there's
forward.
There's a line of cars ahead of you.
And put your hands on that radio. Do you feel that warmth, the surging up
through
those
knuckle bones? You know, it's one of those big Saturday nights.
Do you feel it
there's
surging up through those,
million people from
through those wrist bones and up into your
show.
Elbow bones and going fine into
and
your
there
heart?
There you are, you see. And there's this guy taking
you
the half
that?
Buck.
Yes,
he says,
that's the sound and the feel.
And then it says, thank you. You know,
of solid electronic
have you ever seen it say thank you to a giant Mack truck
coming your way?
And this guy makes his exhaust just go, bleh!
When he do you know, you know, speaking of the human cake of yeast,
you know, I'll tell you one of the greatest
not more than
I ever
2 hours
had in my
ago,
life,
I am riding on the
I'm
IRT.
A guy who's involved in the mechanical world.
Boy,
and
I'll
many
tell you, that's where it's really being lived.
But I find it wildly exciting. And
I'm serious, you know, what bothers me is how
drive,
many people write plays
420
and
horsepower,
and they live up in Maine
Mac.
And Vermont. They
this
live in islands off the Greek coast.
Speeds.
And they're riding
it
about night in
America. Speeds in reverse.
Oh, yeah, more than one young rider
believes
it. If he gets the Corsica. The truth is going to come out.
Oh, man, you sit there, you know.
His
big black steering wheel, you know, like the bus steering wheel, and you got a window all the way around the turnpike.
I would only recommend to every visitor to New York.
You're sitting 30 feet above these guys in their MGs, you know.
Go to Katz's.
I'm sure that once in a while, some guy in a
maybe
big
knock
white
down
diesel.
A Nathan hot dog
big
at the other end of the line.
Just wants to run over a whole line
and
of
them. Stand there and hang on to those bars in the IRT car and read those car
cards. I'll tell you the feeling, though. It is great.
And look at that crowd sitting there steaming.
And a truck is very different.
Fat ladies.
Men are beginning to discover. People, in fact, are beginning to discover.
Just sitting there, you know, salami sticking out.
I mean, actually controlling
the guys
car now
cruising
up and down the cars.
Have you seen that new thing of the guys
that's
cruising the cars,
ride.
For interesting looking chicks?
And you have to pay extra for it now.
What did you think those guys were doing going from car to car? They were looking for
Did you think they
were looking for the club car or what?
It's a manually operated sport windshield wiper.
You know, it is
with
true. You know,
you just accept
these guys walking.
It costs you $40 extra.
Well, let me tell
you, I am on
the IRT not more than about two hours ago.
You know, I got
down to the village,
and
boy,
it's hot down there.
They have not yet really air conditioned
and it was
the
in the Army. The first time I ever had a chance to drive a real
vehicle.
Well,
the air is conditioned,
but they're in they're not called
trucks. You get the sense of old neat foot oil and old footballs.
And they've got iron all around
them. Gyms and locker rooms and all kinds of stuff.
You just don't know what it's like to drive something.
It's really life.
Have you noticed
that we devote most of our time
here in America
to expunging all
the big green chunk of
tracks
we
leave
in front of
you. Expunging
the
traces that we leave of life itself.
Oil.
What do you think the air conditioning system is for?
Grenades!
You know, you can buy an air conditioning system now that blows Vermont air.
Oh, yeah, you're sitting there.
You're living on Third Avenue, you know.
They've got a grill guard that
doesn't
stop.
And in comes Vermont. Well, I know certain places in Vermont
they really
that
do.
They blew that air in, it would curl your hair.
And this particular
vehicle. But they blow Vermont air, or they have one, you can set it for lake.
A mine exploder.
You could set it for ocean.
Now,
or stockyards.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's a thing that has a big arm out in front.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. You can set it for anything. You know, pine trees.
Boom.
You can set it for interesting
it
house
on
a street in New Orleans.
It goes boom, and it blows boom. The mines are going, you know, you're driving. It's like
cheaper
fuel,
you know, all kinds of stuff.
What a thing to have on a
turnpike. And guys yelling and hot on cigar butts. We do this, and we're devoting ourselves to getting rid of it. But sadly enough,
boy,
the very
is
thing
an aggressive
that makes
crowd.
Life wild and swinging is the very thing that most of us want
well,
to get rid of.
This is a mine exploder.
And
well,
I'm
you know,
standing in the
thing
IRT.
About a mine exploder,
and I'm digging
the steam. It has a giant chain.
It's
it really
so
does.
So exciting.
At the end of the chain
night,
is a big iron ball.
Because everybody becomes
and it's got this
very.
It just goes up and down like a big whip.
How boom. Shall I say it? Very
and
basic.
You know, I know the
really
all of
basic.
You are driving.
Guys' shirts are all
every one of you.
Sitting there. You can
and
see their hair.
You know that guy
out,
that goes whistling down the center of the
women,
turnpike.
You know, they've given up all the jazz.
With
so the women after
Mercury.
5.5 hours of
you know, with the decal. He's got this phony continental fire on the back.
Sweating.
And it's got a
and
big
everybody
dragon
is truly a human being.
And it's got the phony Venetian blinds in
the
back.
I'm standing there in the subway. It's packed. Oh, boy, you can't get a seat.
And on the back it says,
and who am I looking right in the eye? Miss
he's
Subway.
Got his chick's name on the back in this red letter.
You know, Miss Subway up there on that card. You know, it says
this
Miss Subway for July. And she's got
this
beautiful,
pure slavism all the way.
Non-Subway
and he's got
look.
One of these steering wheels.
She looks like she never rode a Subway in her life.
This fake ermine on.
It says Miss Subway.
It's a big fat
Miss Subway
wheel.
This month. Works
and,
in a very
got,
thrilling electronic supply office.
You know, with that sort of purple stuff.
She is the epitome of the chic New York secretary who combines efficiency
and
with chicness.
On top of his dashboard, he's got
and
a little plastic Christ.
It says, after she has left work, she uses her spare time by painting and making ceramic
ashtrays. You know this guy. He's with us, you know. He's with
Wouldn't
us.
Wouldn't you love to know that chick?
He's always got one of these sateen jackets with a winged foot on the back.
She's also interested in freelance modeling.
You see this guy continually
well, I'm standing
here
and I'm looking
diner.
At this Subway chick and I'm looking at the real
this
chicks around here. The real Subway
and he's always
chicks.
There with four or five other
with
guys.
With the leopard skin
and
leotards
how many times after a date.
And I can't
you're
imagine
up, you
one
know,
of them
with
making
chick.
A ceramic
you got your
trick.
White coat on. You got this
but
little phony carnation
watching
here.
Miss Subway.
The chick's got one of these
reading
yellow
have you,
dresses.
Are you a Miss Subway fan?
And
I myself am. And I'm not putting it down.
In the morning on US
I love people... Who
and
have
you know
beautifully
it's a
ordered lives
you
like
get
that.
In there. You
now,
have
that's
made
an
a
ordered
classic
life.
Boo-boo.
Now, if I were to come up to you and say, what do you do with
you
your
see,
spare
you walk
time,
in
son?
And eight guys with these
well,
satin
I weave
jackets
baskets.
Turn around. If you're really a hip traveler, you know, because when you drive
no,
into that gravel
that's the
driveway,
kind of life everyone wants
Mercury
to lead.
All
kind of everything is clean.
Four
what do you do, son?
There's a
well,
cut-down
49 good literature.
It's been channeled, rotted, and leaded.
And you can see the guy sitting there at home reading
Conrad. It's got
a 37
coat paint, a bronze armor on it.
You know somehow the idea of Miss Subway, Miss Subway you're talking
stars.
About. You know, the
you
IRT.
Drive in, you walk in
Miss
place,
Subway at home doing ceramics.
Scrambled eggs.
It's kind of, you know, it kind of,
you
want to say, Miss Subway,
just, you know,
come with me.
You get in there and the
please,
rock and roll.
Come fly boom, with boom, me, boom, Miss boom. Subway, to Nathan's.
These guys turn around.
We will have a hot dog.
You see the thing.
I will
go.
Get you away from those rotten, sterile ceramics.
And
come
the guy
to 7th Avenue,
back
we will walk into
behind
a counter,
he's got
nothing under the moon.
Looks up.
We will look in rotten pawn shops.
Now it's going to
we will
to
go
start.
Past alleys
and
where
Gertie,
funny things are going
waitress,
on.
The big blonde is walking around. You know,
and you can use it as a motif for an interesting
she's
ceramic ashtray.
And she sort of leans back and she knows.
Got to use life. Speaking
Martys,
of using life, oh no, we're not there
Jersey
yet. Hold on.
47, 56 Mercury Martys turn around. They start.
Yes, life is hard. Life is for a. Oh, by the way, before we go any further.
Your carnation is
this week has
fast,
been designated
you know, and all of a sudden
as
you
National
feel
skinny Entertainment
and white
Week.
Face.
It is.
You know, as though you're real
it is National Entertainment
and
Week. And the other day,
these
I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to a Met ball game.
Big round jaw.
Oh, yeah, yeah, don't put it down.
Like
it's not about baseball, honey, Mickey because Mantle. Baseball isn't about baseball. It's about life. You can learn that one day.
Yeah, you know that.
You really are.
A big fat.
I am listening to a Met ball game when suddenly Lindsey Nelson.
Well,
that is usually
the
most humorless of all
announcers.
Try to get
as far away as possible back in the corner.
Lindsey Nelson says, "Hey, Ralph."
You get back there.
He's talking to Ralph Kiner.
And you're
Kiner,
sitting. You figure if you don't
look at
him, they won't
see. Who was a home run
belter
of fantastic proportions.
So you sit with
he
your
says,
back
hey, Ralph.
To him. And
it's
the chick
radio.
Is looking
you see,
this way,
Ralph,
and there they
you don't
are.
See Lindsey, nothing. You just hear him, which is what makes radio great.
The water is
hey, Ralph.
And you hear that huh? Cheap tableware is there. She's giving you
he
the paper
caught him,
napkin.
He caught him unaware. You know, Ralph is down there picking a score. So he's, hey, Ralph.
Funny. She's kind of
he says, it's
away.
National oh. Pickle Week, Ralph.
And you get the sensation these guys
and in the middle of that, you hear
a big,
yell. The Mets have, you know, somebody scored eight runs on the Mets.
Waiting for you to turn
and he says, it's National Pickle Week, Ralph.
And then suddenly you hear one of
yes.
Oh, baby.
And he says,
what
are
you
going to go out and get
clutch?
Yourself a big fat pickle this week?
And it's
and
hanging
Ralph
there in the cider,
well,
you know, like some great big dragon,
so.
You know, just laying there. And, you know, this feeling, you got to do something. So you say, how about
all of a sudden,
the
ridiculousness of it all came out to me, you know, right
you
out of that little
in,
crummy busted
starts.
Crosley. In
it
the middle of
a
ball
a
game, at 2
you know,
o'clock
special
in the morning, they're playing the Dodgers,
like
you know, it's way out on the coast
now,
somewhere.
It
and
plays,
I'm
it
listening
stops,
to this game, and it's
a
National
silence.
Pickle Week.
And suddenly you hear
and Ralph Kiner, a great home run
you
hitter, is going to celebrate by getting himself a big
eye.
Kosher dill.
What are you looking at, Mac?
Well, you know...
You're looking at me?
This is National Entertainment Week. No, seriously.
You're looking at me?
It really is.
Hey!
And
hey, Charlie, look at this guy. He's looking for a fight.
Entertainment is a very important part of American life. And not
you're
only is it an
me?
Important part, it's an integral part of the life of peoples everywhere. Whenever they use the word people,
no, I'm just looking at the pie.
In a proclamation, stand back. It's a drippy one.
Yeah.
It says peoples everywhere love
smart.
Entertainment,
he walks
and it
past.
Makes life worth living.
He
so go
John
out
Ford.
And celebrate National Entertainment Week
30
next
seconds
week.
Later, it comes out.
Well, I
he
read
walks
that
past,
thing.
And he looks at the chick. He gives
you
it
know,
that
I'm thinking
look.
About this.
Come with me.
Have
fly
you ever
with
really
me to paradise
about
in my 56 cut down leaded Mercury.
What is it? I mean, seriously, what
and there's
is
there's something about those guys that
just
chicks
accepts
cannot
it, you know,
quite,
for absolute kind of
they cannot
untotal.
Quite resist, fellas. Let's face
what
it.
What is entertainment? What do we need? Why do we need it?
It's sin, you know.
I mean, entertainment can be a guy jumping up and down.
They're torn between.
He's dancing, you know.
Being friend, you know, they're torn between loyalty to Claude.
Oh, well, he does it better than I do. But all he's doing is jumping up
after
and down.
After all, he's my date.
Jumps up and down.
That
everybody goes there, and it's the ballet.
Relay that kicks out.
You know, either that
when
or it's a chick standing on
hairy
foot.
Male. Looks
the music plays. And have you thought about music?
Then he
no,
looks
seriously.
At Claude.
This is a very. No one has
he
been
goes
able
back
ever
and sits
to define
down.
Entertainment.
Another law.
You know, a war can
fall.
Be entertainment.
And then one of them says, hey, look at the coat,
many a guy is entertained at
the
most peak.
Got the
peak
ice cream coat on.
When his knee starts to hurt.
Monkey coat.
And he develops an interesting
These are all way. Typical witticisms of
He's
New Jersey Marty.
No? He's entertained. He loves it.
Their wit is
entertainment
clean and
can
cutting.
Be reading about other people's
Sip
lives.
And it's brilliant.
Why do we have to do this?
To my knowledge, has never
have
been
seen
put in
that
a play.
Gigantic sign on 42nd
Monkey
Street.
Monkey coat.
Big sign.
Long pause.
Tremendous. And I don't know whether you know anything about 42nd Street, west of Broadway.
And with that,
between
the guy leaves
Broadway
from behind
and
the
ninth.
Counter and
wow.
he heads him off.
I mean, talk about trouble here, Chuck. Talk about your rich mulligatawny
Chuck. I remember, now listen, not like last Wednesday, Chuck.
Well, there it is. Army and Navy stores. They got used howitzers you can buy.
Last Wednesday.
They
the
really have.
Says, oh,
have you seen those? I stood there in front of a window
boom,
one day and
then
I just stood for 10 minutes
driveway
and looked at a used mortar.
You know that? His
and it said for sale, cheap. In working condition.
Over the front of the stainless steel tire.
And I could see myself going home, you know,
you
setting it up in the backyard. Lobbing a few into the Bronx.
Left alone.
Just for kick. Boom. What fireworks.
You're toying with your
Well, this is 42nd Street. They've got,
have you ever
for those of you who don't live
run.
In New York and don't know, there's one place
wow.
down there.
Have you ever tried to
they've
make
got
you
a
say,
big
oh, well,
cork
I didn't
tree.
Want to fight.
It's about,
Boy, let me
15
tell you.
Inches across.
You notice there was eight of them, don't
stands
you?
Stands about 8 feet. And it's covered like a porcupine
says, yes,
with gigantic toad stickers. All stuck in. Shivs.
I don't want to fight on
knives.
Saturday night.
And the sign says,
white coat.
Throwing knives.
And then there's a pause, and she says, I think we better get home.
A generous selection.
It's getting late. This is an awful
And then
rough
underneath
place.
It, it says, money back guaranteed.
She's saying they're too
Can
big
you imagine
for you,
trying this thing and you find you're
All
only
the
getting
the
in curves with it?
You, know?
You keep missing people. You take it back.
Seat of his borrowed father.
You know, I mean, it's a real scary scene down there.
Pontiac
well,
campus.
There is a sign.
With seat covers.
That hangs over this whole place
kind,
down there.
You know, that look a little like soft
And
tweed.
The sign says in
he
huge
gets in
block
and
letters.
Away.
Get more out of life.
US-1, there they are.
Go to a movie.
Waiting in their webs.
Get more
I
out
wonder
of
how
life.
Many guys
Go
are listening to,
a movie.
To me right now. Who 5 minutes ago have just said
watch
to their
somebody
chick,
else
find a diner.
Go there and watch Geraldine Page
and now he says,
cry
no,
when Anthony Perkins comes into
home.
The room. And I thought, get more out of life, go to a movie.
You better
what
stick
a
with
great,
the Red Rooster,
what a slogan that is
you know,
for 20th century
of,
living.
This is
get
all
more
part
out
of
life.
Now.
Get
We're
a 24-inch television
it is a fact.
Set.
Since this is entertainment
You can
week,
see David Brinkley,
Jersey
Marty.
Get their entertainment by
life,
knocking
you know,
their
This
heads
is fantastic.
Together.
This is vicarious. You
and
know, the driving
up and down that turnpike.
Of vicarious
and
living.
Every time.
I wonder, you know, have you ever watched chicks? You see that they're far
anger.
More influenced by
but
this than men.
Matches the anger.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think women know this.
Absolutely.
I don't think they
Watch
see
them
this.
From the outside.
This is the kind of thing
Do you
that
remember
women
when
don't know.
We
I've
went
never
through
seen
a cycle
one woman
of
get up
or there were millions
and come back and challenge
Marilyn Monroe. You remember
Never.
The Bronx Marilyn Monroe?
You know, in front of God, everybody.
You don't
chick,
remember that when all the chicks made with the Marilyn Monroe stuff?
And
then we went through a cycle
know,
of Elizabeth Taylor.
That kind of thing that they do
with
to you
the purple
road.
Eyelids, you know?
How
and
many
now
times
we are going through the most
the
gigantic cycle of Barbara Streisand.
On the turnpike. You can always tell.
Oh,
they
yeah, yeah. They're all over
you're
the place, you see.
You
Whereas men
you
are not
truck.
Quite that affected by it.
It ain't. He's
I
got
don't know
how
many men who consciously imitate, let's say,
he's coming up
Gary
that center
Cooper.
Lane, you see, of the Jersey Turnpike.
You know, consciously,
and he's
they develop
fish.
Sunken cheeks, and kind of friendly
you.
Little, you know,
he
the Gary
tell,
Cooper
see, looks,
sort of Jimmy
sees two people. He
Stewart
sees a guy
look,
and a
you know, gee, I don't
and so
know.
So here's eight of them in this car.
They come up. No, and men just go along and
you
sort of scratch.
And you feel it going, you're going along. You're
and
to
as they do, the scenery around them changes.
They don't
the
pass.
Scenery changes due to this world
you.
Of
See,
entertainment.
Chicks don't know about this.
And so one day, a guy's with Marilyn Monroe. A couple of days, he's with Barbara Streisand. He notices the chick has gotten very aggressive. That's the Streisand child, you know. And he notices that. And a couple of weeks later,
then you go
it's
back to the
Audrey Hepburn. Remember when
they
went through the
way.
Audrey Hepburn bit?
Here.
Then there was the Jackie look.
You're laying here. And
for a while.
He slides
I do not know many
up.
Guys who are consciously going through the rip-torn phase.
You ever had that happen at 60
you know,
miles an hour? And all these guys are looking at the
Well, maybe a few. I mean,
those
got
big, fat, Marty bowling alley
But this is, to me,
very interesting.
And they got cans of beer.
In fact, you know that there have been anthropologists and sociologists.
The car staggers a little. Hey,
and people who are aestheticians, people who deal in aesthetics.
And then they get in front of
you.
Who've
been trying to figure out what is meant.
Then they start going. They're waiting
by
for you to raise
this
them.
Thing. Entertainment,
boom,
art,
four pipes,
beauty,
breathing blue flame,
this vicarious joy we get at seeing somebody,
now you're going
like say
miles
somebody
an
walk
hour.
On a tightrope.
And so you calmly you go out like
and
this,
then we all cheer.
It's just another driver.
Or somebody gets up and he's trained a cocker spaniel to jump through a hoop.
Let's go.
We cheer. That's pretty fascinating. We're the only creature anywhere.
And suddenly you got claws.
Who we know of who demands entertainment. You know that?
You
that's one of the things that sets man apart from all other creatures.
Big
we think
ones.
Dogs do. No.
You're the first
dogs are not
chicken.
Being entertained when they're chasing a ball
chicken!
And bringing it back.
They get funny.
That's not the same thing.
It is at that moment
we demand
that I
a peculiar
get a fantastic
kind of thing.
Urge to have a mind.
And it takes wild forms.
I think
I'm going to tell you a story.
Invention for civilian
what?
Use.
One night that I kind of came across.
Just to use in case of emergency.
Almost what it's all
button.
About. And ever
boom!
Since that time, I felt funny about going in movie houses. You know, have you ever gone in a movie house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Times Square?
Well, you know, I'll tell you.
Or
driving,
some big center.
This
and
vehicle,
it's filled with all the cast
offs. Great sensation. And
the guys that are out of work.
And you know,
the chicks
I've never
are,
seen a war
God knows what,
now,
you know,
that tells you about driving
and
vehicles.
They're all sitting in there and they keep
no, really.
Wide
you know
spaces
that they have
between
a
each
GI
other.
Driving license.
They're kind of surrounded by
they
their own shame.
Wait till I tell the joke,
sitting there. And they all sit and watch
no, there
this
is a
double
GI
or triple feature.
License.
The longer the better.
Blue
the longer blue. The better.
And
on the screen,
like
the sound of hoops galloping. John Wayne is taking the Alamo.
And
it's fantastic.
Hey, now wait, come on, fella. Give me a chance.
They
tell them, Alan, to wait, will you?
And all the while,
so
they should
be... So it's got a whole list of vehicles.
They should be doing
that
something
range all the way from
they should
M1
be
Jeeps.
Making their lives work.
The things like
they should be
D-U-K
working. They should
doubles.
Be writing the book. Or they should be getting
you know
a job.
A duck is?
And they just sit.
Well, oh yeah, I know.
And then suddenly, out in the open air, they come.
And
you know that,
that
terrible feeling of coming out of a play?
It really is. It's
the sky is
up big.
There.
It's a boat.
The sun is
it
beaming
goes into
down.
The water and it mounts
and you
two
have a vague feeling at first
guns.
Of being self-conscious out on the street. You know that funny feeling?
Slots along
and
the
feeling
edges.
As though somehow
you sit in there. What a sense of security.
You've been cheated. You know, even
I mean,
if it's a great movie,
wood,
you feel
and there's a motor
cheating.
In there, boy, that just
it's
sounds like
feeling.
It's an elephant
it's
that's got a bad tune.
Well, when I was a kid,
well,
we had.
Well, I'll tell you,
a
I'll
show,
tell you one of the most
theater.
Thrilling vehicles
just,
that I
you know,
ever
just
drove
a neighborhood theater
in my
exactly
days in the
like
army.
All
great,
neighborhood
great
theaters
driving something
called the Orpheus.
Really had it.
Isn't
I mean,
that
really,
a great name?
You
know,
wild sense. Of
you know about Orpheus?
It was really there.
Somehow, Orpheum, the Orpheum in Hammond, Indiana.
It was a troop carrier.
The Orpheum.
What they called.
And there in the Orpheum, which was done in a
kind
of Greco Moorish
straight up
way. During long
evenings,
the entire neighborhood would go.
The
they used to call it the neighborhood theater.
In the medium,
and then they gradually stopped going.
And this thing is like a caterpillar.
And then a new thing began to develop.
You sit there, and it shakes.
Bingo.
You
Kino.
Sit there and they're driving. It's
bank
like glass that thick that goes up
and
down.
And then finally,
little,
dish
a tiny,
night.
Just a tiny little thing you put over to
now,
keep
now, do you know what dish night is? You know, most
stuff.
Of it, this is something that most of us have completely
like
forgotten.
And
but if you can imagine going
thing,
down to the Paramount
they have
on Times Square,
knife
and they give you
right
a
out
gravy
of it,
dish when you go in.
For cutting wire.
You know, they hand you a gravy dish so that the con you to come in and see Anthony Perkins.
A little...
Well, that's what it was.
Fire
they gave you a set of dishes.
Strong,
and everybody got all excited. They got all hung on
hit
this,
it,
you see.
Boom,
and they had out the lobby great big glass
like that,
case.
You know?
And in the glass case
well, you think you
was
have trouble in
the
your
total
traffic.
Set,
oh.
The complete set of dishes
you.
That you could get.
You are,
and there were these
that,
green crystal
Gordon Road is bad.
You know the kind
you
give away at gas stations? You know that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, speaking
I'll tell you, my mother still eats all of them.
Yeah.
And it's a very important. She went through hours of hell
what
to get
them. What radio station is this? W-O-R.
You know, I would say, just like green stamps. You know, people will fight for their
New
green
York-y.
Stamps more than their money.
New York. You can steal my dough, steal my everything, steal my husband, kill my kids, but take my plant stamps.
And one more thing. If you are not living in New York and you have not read The Village Voice,
well, the old manager of the Orpheum decided,
a really open, naked nerve of this city,
that he better give away dishes.
As a matter of fact, The Village Voice is probably the most prize-winning newspaper in the country in the last 5 or 6 years, and unquestionably one of the most continually
kind of
irritating, interesting,
art, you know?
Wildly misinformative newspapers
we should recognize
and,
this
as
art
a matter of fact, I've taken the voice myself since 1956, and I've been hooked. The way some people get hooked on
mobile
TV. This is The Village Voice, really. It's a weekly,
you know, those big
it's wild, it's
bas
interesting, and it tells
African
more about America, I think, than most of the more serious, pompous newspapers that are around. And if you would like to subscribe, send your name and address
Chinese
Village Voice, Gene Shepherd, Sheridan Square, New York. It's $4 a year, and it's a big $4.
Ancient Chinese TV set. And yeah, it had teak wood, you know, little red dragons, a little bamboo thing.
Okay.
And this is
excuse me, friend.
It's combining a kind of non-function with non-function.
Very interesting. Marty!
Well,
these
green dishes, I remember well, they had molded grapes
come
on.
Come on down. Marty will come down.
Yeah, little raised places,
well,
you
Marty's
see.
Marty's getting ready to sing for us.
All the mashed potatoes would gather in there.
That's why he can sing for us.
Well, they look awful with food on them, I'll tell you.
You know that they've been doing a lot of
if you've
of
ever
research,
eaten red cabbage on green dishes.
It's a pleasure. Area
it's wild,
of your brain
with meatloaf, you know.
Do
real,
you know that you have
real
a
family house food
in your brain.
Well,
you do. You really
they started
do.
To give these things
it's
away, and
in
every
your
Wednesday
brain, there
night,
is one little
the concept was
where all the whoopee goes
on. If you came
on.
Every Wednesday on dish night.
Of course,
which
some
was
people
the night
trouble
after
it's
bank
been truncated
night.
In that.
And the night before bingo
that
night.
True. And you know how they've been doing it?
Nobody talking about the
rats.
Pictures anymore. I just can't.
An experiment. It's
front of stairs up there
and
dancing. And all you can hear is the rattle of dishes in the audience.
Their brain.
Well,
and they finally
well, it's a funny
discovered
thing. They used to they would
the
they would this
batteries.
Is exactly the way
don't
it worked.
With those
when you come
batteries,
in,
they're no good.
And remember it well. You walk in,
you're going to try
you know
the
where
real
the guy takes
problems.
The ticket and he tears it.
That with the proper
well, he used to have a great big cardboard
the
thing
pleasure
there.
Center of the brain,
just filled right
the
to the top with saucers. Or
no, they give up everything.
They squeeze
there,
it
they
out.
Give up,
you know,
you've
got a saucer
stuff,
and a cup
too,
separately.
You know,
those were two separate nights.
And growl,
boy, that was
and
a bad night when you got a saucer
and
night.
And
you know,
just there
walking.
With a silly grin on their face.
Well, you'd come in, he'd tear your
no,
ticket.
The truth.
And he would only give it to
adults. And they experimenting and they found
and he would say,
the rats
oh, yes,
give
yes,
up everything.
Saucer night tonight.
The total pleasure
and he'd hand my mother the saucer.
With this
and she'd take the saucer and we would walk into the darkness.
General
it was
Electric
not
is
air
working
conditioned.
On a whoopee hat.
It was dark and hot, and it was summertime. And up on the screen would
be
Fred Astaire or Ginger Rogers, some Never
out,
Never Land
up there. For a while.
Priscilla Lane, guys like Jeffrey Lynn had no
like
relationship to the steel
hat.
None whatsoever.
And you
they're up
it
there
in,
and they're doing things.
The
Jeffrey Lynn has always come in with a tennis racket. Walk in, you know. Tennis, nobody of tennis in our pool rooms, you know, we play. Well, this was the kind
your
of strange.
Ears, you know, just
I can only say it was surrealistic.
Out of
if this background, by the way,
it's liable to
comes
cause a
humorous
drop
and
in the
starkly
population.
Realistic writers. Out of this background comes people like
on,
Theodore
Marty,
Dreiser, people like Farrell. It has to be, you see, because what are you going to do if for example, if you see a movie with, let's say, Priscilla Lane? You know how she looked. She always great, you know. She just came out there. She always looked like she was just out of a shower.
In honor of
she was thin.
Jersey Marty.
She had all these sisters. And Faye Bader was always her mother.
You talk about
and there was always Jeffrey Lynn coming over. And he was always an author, and he played tennis.
Okay, there you go.
Well, if you show that in Cape Cod, that's the way it is. They don't see any difference, you know. They don't see any nuttiness in life from that. You show it in Brooklyn.
I like to do.
They think that's the way it is in Brooklyn. They really do. Every last Brooklyn kid I know wants to make it big as a writer and become a tennis player. Oh, yeah, Moss Hart, that whole syndrome. It's all there. Well, guys out in the steel mill don't have that idea.
She looked me dead in the
eye. They don't. I don't know one guy in the steel mill district who says, I'm going to write the play. I'm going to write the play for Mary Martin.
Call me,
and she's going to come out there. She's going to have this big hat with fruit on the top.
And we're going to call it South Whoopi. And she's going to do this thing. And Donald Brotzi's going to... He doesn't think of doing this. He doesn't. But what do you think he thinks when he sees it? Does he think it's life? I don't know. It's very hard because I sat out there and watched Priscilla Lane and the guy with the tennis racket. I watched Robert Cummings with this phony English accent. He was not like anybody on the South Side. Not one of us. Well, here is, for that reason, the Midwest develops a fantastic anti-showbiz attitude, which is generally called square. Yeah, so Mary Martin comes out to Chicago and lays an egg. Why? They're sitting out there and she makes no sense to them. She's up there dancing and they're singing and the tennis rackets are out. It means nothing to the blast furnace crew. Well, so I'm sitting in this theater, you see, and this began to build up. And they had to lure the people into the theater. They literally had to drag them right in. And so they're giving them dishes. This is life. This is life. You eat your salami on a dish. You eat your red cabbage, your kohlrabi. Do they have kohlrabi out here? Did you ever eat turnips? I mean, you know, have you ever had turnip patties? That's a big Midwestern bit. You take mashed patties, turnips, from yesterday. It has to be yesterday's turnips. You mash them, and then you fry them. And after you fry them, you put gravy on it. They're terrible.
I hate you.
What is this? A pro turnip Friday? What is it? So anyway, it's that kind of life. But and when it gets hot out there, everything changes very definitely. You do not see Bermuda shorts in the blast furnace. None of this. Everybody just sweats more and wears the same stuff. They really do. You know, you see guys with dark suits and they leave a puddle all dragging by, just walking down the street. Oh, yeah, they sweat and their collars turn up and they sit there. Well, everybody would go to this theater every Wednesday night and there would be big excitement. He would keep it back. He would not tell you what next week was going to be. Whether it was going to be a Super Bowl night, or, you know, he would save it for a surprise. Also, he knew that there were certain things people wouldn't come for. You got enough saucers. You don't want no more saucers, you know. A glass night. Everybody drank out of jelly glasses, you know. So glasses didn't bring them in. There were certain things like platter night. Millions of ladies would come, you see. It was platter night. Well, every Wednesday night, me, my kid brother, my mother, and my father. See, they tried to get two sets. They were getting a set together for Aunt Teresa. It was for Christmas, you know. And my father would get Aunt Teresa's set, and my mother would get our set. So we'd come in there every Wednesday night, and there would be the box. And the first couple of nights, he had big things, like platter. Great big platter, you know. And the word got out in the neighborhood, this fantastic platter. We got three, and a big thing. So everybody is sitting in the theater there, up on the screen. Green is Priscilla Lane, and about every 10 minutes you hear crash. And then you'd hear this muffled swearing, and then the two people would get up and leave the theater. What's the use of staying through the tennis bit, you know? The whole reason for the evening was shot, you know. Gee, you know, all week we waited, you dropped it. What are we going to do now? No platter. We're not going to have another whole set of dishes, no platter. What are we going to do? You know, it was a point of no return, you know. They didn't repeat these nights. You see, if you messed up, boy, on the gravy dish, forget it, you know. There was, so they got you hung like that, see. So every night they would come down and they'd give these dishes. Well, it got to be real. Really, you know, it's like dope or something. You really get hung on it. And so after about 13 or 15 or 20 consecutive weeks, you got a pile of them. You know, there's eight cups are over here, and you got a couple of dishes, you got a saucer and a soup plate. And it's beginning to build. And as it built, people got more manic. Let me tell you, a guy with one or two plaid stamps in his book. is not a dangerous man.
Veil, a mighty shadow in
give him 15 pages filled up, and you have a suspicious man that'll shoot on sight. Oh, yeah, that's why guys, with a lot of dough, rich men are always more rotten about money than poor guys. It's like the guy with the filled-up plant stamp book. He gets really hung on keeping that book fat. Gotta have it real fat. You can't stick it in your pocket. You know, it's got somehow, if you could get a wallet that was shaped like a bowling ball, because of all the stuff you got in it, you know, it's a great feeling, and you protect it. You really do. A guy with 15 cents in his pocket, he'll shoot it right away. 15 cents, give me an ice cream cone. He eats it. Nothing. He's dead now. He's broke. He shot it all. You try to get Nelson Rockefeller to shoot it all, I'll tell you.
You know, every time...
I don't think the voters don't
Marty
know it. You know, they sit out there...
This is about once every two or three weeks. I get this terrible...
There's the Goldwater crew.
I don't know whether you know what my type is.
Well, speaking of Goldwater, what station is this?
Every time you finish that song, or one of your songs, I get the shooting thing.
No, you're the big apple.
Juan and Marty.
Right.
Coming this way.
We don't have dish night down here.
Brought to you by the Purina Chicken.
Not New York. Where they're hung on showbiz, you know. Well, I'm sitting there every night, you know, got to be a ritual. Every Wednesday night, immediately after supper, we put away everything and run out down the street to the Orpheum. And there would be talk. I remember there'd be talk at the dinner table. I wonder when they're going to start with the gravy dishes.
Yes, for those of you who have an unmarked
somehow having a gravy dish is the epitome of...
Well, it's civilization.
My mother used to just take the pan. She made the meat in, you know, pour it over everybody.
With movable types.
Somehow having your gravy in a dish,
and
you know, a little gravy boat, was a fantastic concept.
The
well, they would say, when are they going to get the gravy dishes? And someone would say, I think, I understand they're going
to
have a fruit dish.
A Bible with full of
fruit dish.
A Bible.
Fruit dish, you know, what is a fruit dish? You know, a fruit dish, we just, you know, you get the apple out of the bag. Fruit dish, and there would be all this stuff, you know. Well, one night,
and I have a vague
after about 15 weeks of
this, for many
my mother had collected half a cupboard
when I arrived up at that
and all the tin cups,
yourself
all the aluminum,
you know,
little orphan Annie mugs were pushed in the back.
We always think of these things.
She was establishing a nest.
And we, you know,
we had all these things.
There's the feeling.
And the week before,
someplace along the line,
we had gone down there, and it really hit a kind of interesting jackpot.
All the things
we had gotten a dish the first time that we ever had a dish like this in the house. And we were using
your
it night and day. People were using it just constantly.
Well,
it was a butter
can
dish.
Can you imagine what yours was?
You know, with
like?
The little thing on the top? You know how
no,
butter, you know,
can
actually
you
we never had, it was an old little dish in our neighborhood.
And one of them is,
You know, I grew up eating oleo that was white.
Two books.
It looked like lard, you know. They never colored it, you know. It would come with a little pill or something you'd mix. After a couple of tries at that, it would get sort of paisley colored with stripes. My mother gave that up. We would eat white oleo, you know, oleo. So it would always be in a little pile on the dish. But she would take our oleo after we got our butter dish and make it into a little square.
Seriously, can you imagine?
The top on.
It's really done. She's worried.
It's in the green dish.
Well, we
had got our butter dish.
Because, you know,
everybody's
we say, well, we're modern,
gasped by
we're very modern.
Wednesday night, come,
people,
we're all excited. Word is out. It's going to be gravy night.
We do not
There's
going to
be a gravy boat tonight.
As absolute
we're
going to
complete the set.
We don't believe in these things.
We go down there. We're standing in line. We get up there.
Right
he hands
all,
my mother a butter dish.
No, that's right. We don't want any books, do we?
Two butter dishes, and he says, I'm sorry, but the dish that we were expecting to give tonight didn't come, but we have extra butter dishes, and we're giving out butter dishes tonight, and next week, when we have our other dishes, you can come back and bring your butter dish back, we'll exchange it. So everybody's sitting in there, there's a kind of silence that also there. Everybody's got butter dish number two.
Seriously, can
they're
you
sitting
imagine
there, and up there on the screen is Jeffrey Lynn playing tennis with Priscilla Lane. And the steel workers are all sitting there, and you can smell
look
the blast
down at
from this dust and the sweat.
Stay
and it's hot, and there's a sort of suppressed
look down
anger.
At you.
I don't know whether you know what a crowd from the sheet mill is like on Wednesday night with its second butter dish in its hand. This is just right on the edge, you know. It's like a volcano. Everybody's sitting there, and you hear, you know, the waiting, you hear the butter dish rattling.
I suppose you think you're an art lover, eh?
People are talking. They're not with the picture.
I spent the last 14 years watching
art films. The week goes by. Everybody arrives down there next Wednesday with its separate butter dish on their side. My old man's got one. My mother's got one.
Here.
And there is Mr. Forsythe, who operated our theater. He's standing back of his little ticket thing, and he's looking very embarrassed.
Uh-huh. Let's see. You were age...
He is saying, I'm very sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but there was a shipment mix-up.
What?
That we got the shipment of dishes that were supposed to go to Minneapolis.
And you know, don't you?
To the theater up there,
but
and you're just going to have to accept this dish.
No, you won't.
You can exchange it next week.
Don't give me that cop.
And he
out.
Hands my mother a butter
at
dish.
At the age of 7, you went down to
Now,
Georgia
it sounds like I'm making
store.
It up. I want to tell you the God's
and
honest
you
truth. This is exactly what happened. He gives a butter dish.
Spicy
and
detective.
You can hear these guys. And then you ought to see an old Polish steel worker with two butter dishes
that
in his hands. You know,
then there was
and they only, they don't even eat oleo in his house. It's lard, you know, on the bread.
Art student.
He's over there and he's saying, what's a butter
Just
dish?
Poses.
What about a dish? He
you
walks in, okay,
be
okay.
Over 21.
1 week
You're
goes
not...
by. We are now in the fourth week of our Lord.
And then you know your son.
There's been a lot of talk in the number two
down.
Open heart.
And
everybody has lined up, and
reading,
what do you think he is handing
I
out?
I see all of us just standing up there.
Butter dishes.
Just don't go on.
The crowd is
Send
sitting
me.
There now. Everybody
go,
in the crowd's
go.
Got four
That's
butter dishes.
My friends are anyway.
They have brought them back to exchange.
Go, they're all down there.
And
Flick,
somewhere,
all
someplace
there.
In that rotten New
and
York, they're
wait.
Sending this guy an endless stream of butter dishes.
Just a minute, art lover.
The Balaban and Katz Company
Just
are going to hear
minute,
this.
Beauty fan.
Well, about halfway
you
through
are
the
not
picture
going
that
there.
Night, it was a fantastically hot night.
Can you imagine the terrible
in the Midwest
that
when
to
it's
your
hot?
Mind
you
to
know like it was today.
To heaven?
Multiply it by four.
You're not.
I'm
going
serious
there.
Because they don't have an ocean. You know they don't have that ocean breeze. They have a humidity
how are you
of 115.
How are you on music?
And everybody is
you
sitting in the theater.
Ooh,
they're sitting there, and you can just feel it rolling.
No,
and up on
play.
The screen, Fred Astaire is dancing on the top of a piano.
You can't
and he's wearing his high silk hat, and he's got this cane, you know, and he's
casual.
Going back and forth, and everything is looking good.
This is your
and over on the right side
well,
of our screen
that I suspect
is a sequined organ.
Right now, in this
You know the kind of organ that comes up after the picture and they say, follow the bouncing ball?
By St. Peter.
And sing, red sails in the sunset.
So what do you mean?
They be. And this guy with the curly hair sitting there playing.
Really rotten, you know?
Well, there it is up there to the right, this beautiful thing.
Greasy kid.
When suddenly out of the darkness, you see arcing through that, you know, that, you just see it go right through a butter dish. It is in two
you
pieces.
What
it
the
turns
real,
over
what the real swingers were doing.
And you see it outlined on the screen in shadow.
And the terrible thought is
that
always
that butter dish,
felt
boom, up against that crash it goes
you know,
on that
you
organ.
Wouldn't it be great, seriously, though?
And just like that, the crowd
sins.
Got the idea.
Wouldn't you like to be the first in your neighborhood to invent a new one? I mean, really, a brand new one. I'm a cosmic one.
Let me tell you, have you ever seen
you
it rain butter dishes?
Wow.
You heard of it raining frogs? Butter dishes,
I mean,
there's a cloud of them like that. Little old ladies are throwing them. You
know? I know that the first guy that had a drink
and,
of scotch
and the lights
was
go on, and poor old Mr. Forsythe gets out there on the stage. You know, it's a sad. Have you ever seen a movie house with the lights on? It's pretty sad.
And can you imagine yourself hiding?
And there's everybody's knee high and baby roof fires. And kids have been
and
sick on the floor.
Like
big splotches
in
the
cute.
QP dolls are sort of half hanging off, gilt ones, you know.
Well, let me tell you about
here's that
sin.
Crummy little red curtain up there. Mr.
Forrest
says,
there's
excuse
no
me,
you know,
excuse me,
laugh.
Please, excuse me, please. And from the back you hear this ball, shut up!
Lexicon.
Boom!
In fact, have you noticed there are a lot of words
well,
that aren't used, right?
You know, was learning what showbiz is about.
Nobody's ignorant. He's all underprivileged.
And the butter dishes are hopping back and forth. Oh, crash.
Nobody's
and he
dumb.
Says, excuse me, please.
They're always underachieving.
Next week, I have absolute authority
no
to tell you
as,
it is a gravy boat week.
All these words
shut
have disappeared.
Up!
And along with them has
gravy
the word
boat yourself. Boom.
Well, it has disappeared as a word.
Well, the police
we don't
arrived.
Use it anymore. No one says, oh, there goes Charlie.
And you know, it was a wild
what
scene.
A
they're taking all
is.
The steel workers out, and little old ladies
no,
were knee-deep in
that.
Green
see,
glass.
There goes Charlie. Boy.
and I can't, thing. You know, I can't imagine the explanation for the cop. Where you see the butter dish night here, and the cops are all standing around, and the little old ladies are being loaded into
oh,
the
yeah,
wagon.
This is a Playboy ideal.
And with
the
fire
Lord
in their eye, boy.
Sin, good, evil, all those
well,
things have gone
well,
by.
Well, I
want to
tell you
funny.
That night...
See, there are little pockets
became
in the Midwest
known as the Butter Dish Riot.
They haven't gotten it. They haven't gotten the message yet.
Now,
they really haven't.
It.
They're still living someplace in the far distant past...
Thank you.
...when there were dumb kids. There were
bright
kids.
It became known as the Butter
there
Dish Riot.
There were spoiled brats.
And weeks
there,
went
that's
by.
Another thing. Have you noticed ever since...
It's funny how the crowd, you know, forgets...
There's
went
only
by. Speaking parents. Of riots, look who's here. It's the Red Current.
That's fascinating.
Hey, let's go, man.
Almost every parent I knew who was a rotten parent was a spoiled brat.
Come on, let's go.
And he's
this is the crew from the Red Current.
And so with the coming up of Spock,
they got the hottest softball team in the business.
They have disappeared from
and
our nomenclature.
And they're from one block down the street,
words.
And they're the wildest, angriest
like
Dixie band in the business.
Another
let's
word
go, man. One,
that
two, three,
all of them. Gone. It's cheating. Nobody cheats. Did you notice recently everybody got very mad because a West Point cadet was kicked out for cheating in an exam? Did you read that? They caught this guy. He had notes on the back of his ears, on his shoes. He had them written on his contact lenses. He had the whole thing going through, and they caught him, and they threw him out, and it was a great human plot, and now he's sitting back at a smug look. They got him in, you know, because it wasn't cheating anymore. There's a lot of sinners out there tonight. Oh, yeah, and they're getting even more than we. Oh, seriously, you know the most creative exam cheater that I ever saw in my life? I just ran into 2 years ago. The electronic world, fellas, has gotten into the exam cheating business. I know a guy who had a little Japanese transistor radio, which he had rebuilt. And he had it there, and he pretended he was listening to the next kid. And outside the campus was his buddy with a walkie-talkie. And he was saying, is he put the full tie up square over LD-7. That is the multiple dipole equation for elliptical waveform. You got it, Charlie? And Charlie requests about eating down the state. Request him one, repeat, two. This guy. I'm going to tell you one little story about me.
My friend!
Most people are afraid of children. Most people. Because they can't imagine themselves getting up in front of a lot of other people naked. Just sheer naked. Just watch how funny I'm going to be. Watch me sing now, folks. Want to tell you a funny joke? Those are all rotten people, you know? Rotten aggressive people in the show business. And the most, I'd say, the most operative form of our system is the exam. The reason, you know, that terrible, terrible moment of truth when you are about to take the Latin three exam. And your head is just a buzzing for a semester. You know that terrible thing that's sitting in the class and your eyes are just keep them open? And there's one of these teachers who just goes, the bell tells you get up. Boom! You wake up, you're staggered. But you have had 55 minutes of quadrilateral equations. And there's nothing but this home in your ear. Oh, it goes on, and in the beginning of the semester, you have a feeling that you're going to win, you know?
Somewhere along the line, you're going to catch on. A sin, a fraud, somewhere in a crucial point. This is the point of no return. Literally, you suddenly realize with a faint, sick, and fancy sickness in your stomach, you don't even know what identity is mean. They're using phrases like identity. You think they're the following equation for calling the identity. Is undoing you. It's getting closer and closer to your top. That day, you can't escape. Well, let me tell you one time, I am in the army. I am in a university. I am taking a university course. I have been out in the field. I have been brought back from a jailhouse. They have sent me to the university. I am now in this university. They have given me 37 hours of training. Oh, fantastic. All the guys with me. And they tell us, you fail one course.
Great.
And it's the 102nd Infantry Jet. Now, and you're going by airplane, you're going to land by parachute. And boy, can you imagine going into an exam with that riding on you? Well, let me tell you, one course has always totally eluded chemistry. I can understand it. And there's always some smart guys with glasses who know all about the Lennox High School. And they're going,
And the Red Garter is just one block from us here, and we're at the limelight, a steaming, hot, fetid, swinging bowl of mulligatawny stew, and we'll be back in just 5 minutes after the news.
If you've ever seen a monster, he's just about the happiest person alive as he dreams of the swimming, the hiking, and all the outdoor fun he's about to enjoy. Unfortunately,
you may be captain of your own house, chick, but here I'm in charge.
But your dollars can make this dream come true for one boy at least.
Boy, look at him pacing like a tiger up here.
New York desperately needs contributions to send some 1,000 boys to their new camp Perryman in the beautiful forests of the Catskill Mountains, and they're asking for help.
Without warning, suddenly it comes out of the darkness like a bolt of lightning. What is it?
A week away from the heat and noise of the city. A week of carefree fun and good, healthy country living. Won't you give some East Side boy this chance to enjoy the kind of vacation
Let's
he needs
give Robert
and dreams
Moses
of.
A chair. Come
Send
on.
Your contribution tonight to the Boys Club of New York, Box 77.
Everybody's on Robert
New
Moses.
York
Let's
9,
give a
New
hello
York.
To Robert
thank
Moses.
You so much.
Hello, Bob. Hi, Bob. We're the people, Bob. Hi. Remember us? We're the guys that pay.
Have you ever had the feeling that your whole life is devoted just to shelling out? You know, really, there are two kinds of guys. There are guys that shell out, and there's the other kind. They're just standing there, you know. Would you like to own the George Washington Bridge for 10 minutes? Say at about 5:30 in the evening with Fred Feldman flying over. And, oh, he goes over there just to wait to see for the crashes. He loves them, you know. Yeah, he's a great automobile accident fan. You ought to see Fred. He says, there's a big one down there on the... Oh, boy! It's on fire! Wow! They're very terrible there. You know, can't you imagine yourself owning the George Washington Bridge, say, at 5:45 on a real steamy Friday night, when 9 million guys are trying to make it to Pompano Lakes, they're trying to get away, and you put up a big sign that says $10. Without any warning, you know, tonight only, special. You know, it is true. Have you ever seen anybody use one of those guns that shoots quarters? Yeah, they got a gun that shoots quarters, you know, right on the turnpike. You know, you shoot them into this little thing, a basket that says exact change lane, you know. You know, there is nothing more terrifying than to get into the exact change lane. You know what's coming, don't you? And you get up there and you got your $10 bill. You knew you had a quarter and it's disappeared. You know, there it is. You're looking and everybody in your car, you say, anybody got a quarter? And they're all sitting there in bathing suits, you know. And the line stretches all the way to Trenton. Well, you know, I've always felt the true bravery in our time is not measured by fighting dragons. And it's very difficult for a guy today to go out and beat a saber-toothed tiger into the ground. But real bravery, can you imagine real bravery, genuine bravery? There's a line of cars behind you. There's a line of cars ahead of you. And they're all going through the Lincoln Tunnel. They're all heading in, you know. It's one of those big Saturday nights. There's 97 million people from Jersey are trying to get in to see the big show. And they're all lined up. And there you are, you see. And there's this guy taking the half buck. He says, half dollar. Boing, and then it says thank you. You know, it's just... Have you ever seen it say thank you to a giant Mack truck? And this guy makes his exhaust just go bleh. When he bleh. You know, I'll tell you one of the greatest moments I ever had in my life. Speaking of, I'm a guy who's involved in the mechanical world. I mean, many people shun it, but I find it wildly exciting. And one night I had the chance to drive a big 420 horsepower cab over engine Mack. This thing had 17 forward speeds. It had 9 speeds in reverse. I'll tell you, it had 8 speeds in neutral. Oh man, you sit there, you know, this big flat steering wheel, you know, like the bus steering wheel, and you got a window that goes all the way around the turnpike. And you're sitting 30 feet above these guys in their MGs, you know. I'm sure that once in a while, some guy in a big white diesel, big Cummings diesel, just wants to run over a whole line of them. You know, just run over them, you know, like worms and caterpillars. Well, I'll tell you the feeling, though, it is great. You throw this thing in the first, and a truck is very different. You know, the men are beginning to discover, people, in fact, are beginning to discover the kick of shifting gears. I mean, actually controlling the car now is a new big experience for many people. That's called sports car driving. See? And you have to pay extra for it now. See? Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait. The next big innovation is going to be a windshield wiper. You work like this. You know? It says manually operated sport windshield wiper with chrome steel handle. It costs you $40 extra. See? Wait, you know, it's coming. Well, the feeling is real, you know. I got into SMAC, and I was about, I must have been about 19, 20, something like that. And it was in the Army. The first time I ever had a chance to drive a real vehicle, genuine vehicle. They don't even call them cars. They're not called trucks. They're vehicles. And they've got iron all around them, you know. And there's no, I'll tell you, you just don't know what it's like to drive something until you've driven an Army vehicle. They don't have jazzy little sequin dashboards. There's a big green chunk of metal. It's iron in front of you. See? It's got little black dials, and it says gas, oil. One says grenades. You know? Oh, yeah, you're sitting this thing, you know, and out in front, they've got a grill guard that doesn't stop. Let me tell you, they really do. It's got big iron bars all over, you know, big things. And this particular vehicle was what they call a mine exploder. Now, this vehicle, yeah, you know what it is? It's a thing that has a big arm out in front. It has a chain about 70 yards long, and it goes boom, boom. It beats the ground ahead of you, you see? It goes boom, and it blows, boom, the mines are going, you know, you're driving this thing, boom, bang, they're going. What a thing to have on a turnpike. You know? Boy, is this ever an aggressive crowd. Well, this is a mine exploder. Well, you know, the thing about a mine exploder, you see, it has a giant chain. It really does. And at the end of the chain is a big iron ball. And it's got this arm that just goes up and down like a big whip. Boom. Boom. And you know, I know that all of you are drivers. Every one of you. And you know that guy that goes whistling down the center of the turnpike with the 56 Mercury? You know, with the decal, he's got this phony Continental tire on the back. And it's got a big dragon head looking out. And it's got the phony Venetian blinds in the back. You know, and on the back it says Pat and Joyce. He's got his chick's name on the back in this red letter stuff, you know, that shows up when the lights are on it. This is a pure slob. This is pure slobism all the way. And he's got one of these steering wheels. Have you ever seen the steering wheels that they put this fake ermine on? It's a big, fat steering wheel. And he's got his dashboard is flocked, you know, with that sort of purple stuff with decals of playgirls on there, you know, playmates of the month. And on top of his dashboard, he's got a little plastic Christ. Yeah. See? You know this guy. He's with us, you know. He's with us. He's always got one of these sateen jackets with a winged foot on the back, you know. You see this guy continually in Jersey diners. This is his milieu. And he's always there with four or five other guys. And how many times after a date, you're dressed up, you know, and you're with this chick, you got your white coat on, you got this little phony carnation here. The chick's got one of these yellow dresses with the corsage, and you come into this diner at 2:35 in the morning on US 1, and you know it's a mistake the minute you get in there. You have made a classic boo-boo. You see, you walk in, and eight guys with these satin jackets turn around. Of course, if you're really a hip traveler, you know, because when you drive into that gravel driveway, you can see these Mercuries all lined up. About four motorcycles. There's a cut-down 49 Ford that's been channeled, rotted, and leaded. It's got a 37 coat paint of bronze armor on it, you know, that kind. It's got little decals, arrows, and stars. You drive in, you walk into this place. The chick wants scrambled eggs. You want coffee. You just, you know, listen to the... You get in there, and the rock and roll. Boom, 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 boom. These guys turn around. You see the things going. Like that. And the guy walking back and forth behind the counter, he's got the swab, he looks up. He knows there's trouble. Now it's going to start. And Gertie, the waitress, the big blonde, is walking around, you know, with the big purple thing sticking out of her little pocket here. She's got her little white hat. and she sort of leans back and she knows. And all of these Martys, these Jersey 47, 56 Mercury Martys, turn around, they start. And your white coat gets to be bigger and whiter. Your carnation is getting big and fat, you know. And all of a sudden you feel real skinny and white-faced. You know, as though you're real flabby and scrunchy. These guys are crew cut. Big round jaws. They all look like kind of like debauched Mickey Mantles. You know. Yeah, you know that. You know that sort of grin, that big fat. You know that kind. Well, then the first move you make is to try to get as far away as possible back in the corner in a booth. You get back there. And you're sitting, you figure if you don't look at them, they won't see you. So you sit with your back to them, and the chick is looking this way, and there they are. And all of a sudden, you begin to get that terrible feeling. The water is in front of you. That cheap tableware is there. She's giving you the paper napkin. And suddenly you see the girl's eyes are sort of looking real funny. She's kind of looking away. And you get the sensation these guys are giving her the big eye. And they're just waiting for you to turn around. You can feel it drilling in the back of your neck. And then suddenly you hear one of them says, "Hey, baby. Hey, what are you doing with that klutz?" And it's hanging there in the diner, you know, like some great big dragon, you know, just laying there. And, you know, just feeling you got to do something. So you say, how about playing a jukebox match? You put it in and the music starts. It goes for a minute and a half. You know, they have special records for jukeboxes. They're like 30 seconds long now, you know. It plays, it stops. There's a silence. And suddenly you hear something coming up behind you. You turn around. You catch his eye. "What are you looking at, Mac? You looking at me? You looking at me? Hey, Charlie, look at this guy. He's looking for a fight." You're sitting there. "You looking at me?" He said, "No." "No, I was just looking at the pie over there." "Yeah. You better not get smart." He walks past. He slams the John door. 30 seconds later, it comes out. He walks past and he looks at the chick. He gives her that look, you know, "Come with me. Fly with me to paradise in my 56 cut-down leaded Mercury." And there's something about those guys that chicks cannot quite... They cannot quite resist, fellas. Let's face it. It's sin, you know. They're torn between being friends... You know, they're torn between loyalty to Claude... "After all, he's my date." And that funny little overload relay that kicks out when this gigantic hairy male looks at him and says, "Come on, baby." Then he looks at Claude. He goes back and sits down. Another long, pregnant pause. And then one of them says, "Hey, look at the coat, Mac. Hey, what do you got the ice cream coat on? Monkey coat." These are all typical witticisms of New Jersey Martys. Their wit is clean and cutting, scintillating in its brilliance, and to my knowledge has never been put in a play. "Monkey coat." Long pause. Then somebody comes down and you can feel it coming. And with that, the guy leaves from behind the counter and he heads them off. He said, "I don't want no trouble here, Chuck. I don't want no trouble, Chuck. I remember... Now, listen, not like last Wednesday, Chuck." Immediately, the last Wednesday, and Chuck says, "Oh, I'm just leaving." And you hear, boom, the door. And then you hear out there in the driveway the sound of gravel. You know that? His rear wheels. Boom, gravel over the front of the stainless steel diner. And you see those lights, boom! And one by one, they leave. And you're left alone. Big truck pulls up. You're toying with your scrambled eggs. Have you ever lost a round? Wow! Have you ever tried to make... You say, oh, well, I didn't want to fight. Boy, let me tell you. You notice there was eight of them, don't you? Mert? She says, yes, there were eight. I don't want to fight on Saturday night. You're sitting there in your little white coat. And then there's a pause, and she says, I think we better get home. It's getting late. This is an awfully rough place. Whew. She is saying they're too big for you, Claude. All the men in the world are tougher than you are, Claude. And Claude gets up and gets in the front seat of his borrowed father's 1964 Pontiac Tempest with seat covers. The kind, you know, that look a little like soft tweed. He gets in and drives away. And all up and down US 1, there they are, waiting in their webs. I wonder how many guys are listening to me right now who 5 minutes ago have just said to their chick, let's find a diner. And now he says, no, let's go to the Red Rooster back home. You better stick with the Red Rooster, Dad. You know, speaking of, this is all part of entertainment now. We're going back because it is a fact. Since this is entertainment week, the Jersey Martys get their entertainment by knocking Claude's heads together and driving up and down that turnpike. And every time, boy, I'll tell you, I don't know of any anger that matches the anger. I don't think women know this. I don't think they see this. This is the kind of danger that women don't know. I've never seen one woman get up in a diner and come back and challenge another one to fight. Never. They don't know this, you know, in front of God, everybody, the chick, the whole world. Women don't know this thing. And another thing they don't know is that kind of thing that they do to you on the road. How many times have you been driving along the highway and some guy comes whipping along on the turnpike? You can always tell. They tailgate you. You're driving along and all of a sudden you hear the... You think of a truck. It ain't. He's got his Hollywood pipes going full blast. And he's coming up that center lane, you see, of the Jersey Turnpike, and he's looking for a fish. You. He can tell, you see. He looks, he sees two people. He sees a guy and a chick. And so here's eight of them in this car. They come up, and they tailgate you. They get right behind you. And you feel it boring. You're going along. You're trying to pretend nothing's happening. You slide over to the next lane and let them pass. They don't pass. They get behind you, you see. Chicks don't know about this. They get behind you. Then you say, well, wait a minute. You go to the left lane, waiting. And then you see those lights sneak up behind you. There ain't no mistaking it, Dad. It's beginning to happen. Then you go back to the center lane, thinking I can jump either way. Here, they won't trap me. You're laying here, and all of a sudden he slides out and starts to catch up to you. And he begins to nudge you. You ever had that happen at 60 miles an hour? And all these guys are looking at the chick. Those big, fat, Marty bowling alley grins. And they got cans of beer. Hey, baby! And the car staggers a little. Hey! And you're drunk. Oh. And then they get in front of you, you know. Boom. Then they start going. They're waiting for you to race them. And they boom. You see those four pipes breathing blue flame. Boom. He kicks back. Now you're going 22 miles an hour. And so you calmly, you go out like this, pretending it's just another driver. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, baby, hey, let's go. Chicken. And suddenly you got claws. You got a big beak. You could feel feathers growing out of you. Big white ones. You're the first yellow-bellied chicken. Chicken! And they get in front of you. It is at that moment that I get a fantastic urge to have a mine explode. I think that's a great invention for civilian use. Just to use in case of emergency. You press the button, boom! belt him right on the top of his cut-down roof. Bow! Well, you know, I'll tell you, driving this vehicle was great sensation. And the next thing that I drove, and you know, I have never seen a war book or novel that tells you about driving vehicles. No, really. Do you know that they have a GI driving license? Hey, stop it. Wait till I tell a joke. Then you laugh. Now, no, there is a GI driving license. It's a little blue folder. And it folds like that. And it has 37 vehicles listed all up and down. Hey, now wait, come on, fella, give me a chance. Tell them, Ellen, to wait, will you? So it's got a whole list of vehicles that range all the way from M1 Jeeps to things like DUKWs. You know what a duck is? Well, oh yeah, I know, it's obsolete, but they've got a version of it now, Dad. And that vehicle is as big as the limelight. It really is. It's darn near this big. It's a boat. It goes into the water, and it mounts two 50-caliber machine guns. It mounts 35 little grenade slots along the edges. You sit in there. What a sense of security. I mean, there's acres of wood, and there's a motor in there, boy, that just sounds like it's an elephant that's got a bad tooth. Well, I'll tell you, one of the most thrilling vehicles that I ever drove in my days in the Army is a great, great sense of driving something that really had it. I mean, it was a wild sense of something that was really there, that had muscles all over it. It was a troop carrier with what they called split rear wheels. This is the kind of thing that goes directly straight up walls. You know, that kind of thing, you can throw eight gear shifts in it, see. You can throw the rear wheels at the high, the front wheels in the medium, the middle wheels you can throw at the low, and this thing is like a caterpillar. Arr, and you sit there, and it shakes. You're sitting there, and they're driving. It's got glass that thick that goes up and down. It's got a tiny little thing you put over to keep the rain and shell fragments out. Sit there like that. And on the front of this thing, they had a great big knife that stuck up right out of the front of it, and it was for cutting wires. It was for cutting booby traps. You know, they used to have a booby trap where it would, a little wire across the road would be strung. Guys would come along in a Jeep or something, they hit it, boom, up over, or decapitate them, little things like that, you know. Oh, if you think you have trouble in your traffic, I'll tell you. If you think Fordham Road is bad, you ought to drive over a minefield. Well, you know, speaking of minefields now, yeah. Speaking of minefields and all-out war, what radio station is this? WORAM and FM, New Yorky, New York.
You son of a gun. And, by George. Oh, yes, and one more thing. If you are not living in New York and you have not read The Village Voice, you have not tapped a really open, naked nerve of this city. As a matter of fact, The Village Voice is probably the most prize-winningest newspaper to come about in the country in the last 5 or 6 years, and unquestionably one of the most continually irritating, interesting, wildly misinformative newspapers that's ever been printed in this country. And as a matter of fact, I've taken The Voice myself since about 1956, and I have been hooked the way some people get hooked on Ovaltine. This is The Village Voice, really. It's a weekly, it's wild, it's interesting, and it tells more about America, I think, than most of the more serious, pompous newspapers that are around. And if you would like to subscribe, send your name and address to Village Voice, Gene Shepherd, Sheridan Square, New York. It's $4 a year, and it's a big $4. The Village Voice, the Village Voice, the Village Voice, the Village.
Okay. Hello, excuse me, friends. I hate to interrupt what is apparently very interesting. Marty! Hey, Marty, you want to sing for us? Come on down. Marty will come down. Let's, you know, while Marty's getting ready to sing for us, Marty Lauren is one of the owners of this joint. That's why he can sing for us. You know that they've been doing a lot of research into the pleasure area of your brain. Do any of you know that you have a pleasure center in your brain? You do. You really do. It's a fact that in your brain there is one little spot where all the whoopee goes on. Of course, some people have had trouble. It's been truncated in that, but that is the truth. And you know how they've been doing it? They've been doing it with rats. An experiment, it's the truth. And they've been attaching little electrodes to different parts of their brain. And they finally discovered that with the proper batteries, don't mess with those Jap batteries, they're no good. If you're going to try the real pleasure problems. That with the proper voltages fed into the pleasure center of the brain, the rats go ape. No, they give up everything. They sit there, they give up, you know, all the stuff that rats do. You know, leer and growl and snap and hiss. And they just sit there with a silly grin on their face. No, it is the truth. And they've been experimenting and they found that the rats give up everything. The total pleasure is obtained with this voltage. And right now, General Electric is working on a whoopee hat. It's going to be made illegal, but for the when it first comes out, we can swing for a while. And this thing looks like a symbolic paper hat. And you plug it in, the electrodes are connected, and dad, it is fantastic. You just sit there, your eyeballs sweat. Your ears, you know, just hang out there and you just sit there. The only thing they're worried about is that it's liable to cause a terrible drop in the population. So, come on, Marty, get over here. This is old friendly Marty Lauren, who isn't the same since he lost his beard. And there's an anti-beard chick. What are you going to do for us tonight, Marty?
Well, in honor of all the Jersey Martys and the rock and roll type things that you talk about, Gene, this is awful low, man.
A little low, okay, just bring it.
I grew some.
Okay, there you go. Watch it, though. It's live.
In honor of Lee over there, who has oft requested it, I'd like to do a song called Call Me By My Rightful Name.
Well, I was standing on a corner when this chick walked by. I whistled kind of low. She looked me dead in the eye. She said, I'll come if you call me. She said, I'll come if you call me. She said, I'll come if you call me, but call me by my rightful name. Well, I asked her if she wanted me to walk her home. She said she'd see me later, she'd be all alone. I said, I'll come if you call me. I said, I'll come if you call me. I said, I'll come if you call me, but call me by my rightful name. Oh, well, I went up to her house and she was all alone. She gave me plenty of love and then her father walked home. And oh, what he called me. Oh, man, what he called me. Oh, man, what he called me. And he didn't use my rightful name. Oh, well, I beat it out the window cause I couldn't find the door. I hollered, so long, baby, I won't see you anymore. She said, I'll come if you call me. I'm gonna come if you call me. I'll still come if you call me, but call me by my rightful name. Well, the next day I called her. She came about 10 with a parson and a sheriff and a half a dozen men. She said, I came cause you called me. Yeah, I came cause you called me. I came cause you called me. Now call me by my rightful name. Oh, well, I looked all around and saw just what was what. And so I said to the parson, go ahead and tie the knot. And now she comes when I call her. Yeah, she comes when I call her. She always comes when I call her, cause she finally got her rightful legalizing name.
Very good. Yeah, very good.
Listen, Marty, I hate to appear gauche.
Since when?
But I'm going to appear gauche. I want you to sing John Henry again. Come on.
This is kind of really in honor of the Limelight softball team, which finally, after many tries, won its first ball game. No, the Mets are far better than we are. When John Henry was a little baby, sitting on his daddy's knee, he picked up a hammer, a little piece of steel, said, hammer gonna be the death of me, Lord God, hammer gonna be the death of me. Some say John Henry come from Texas, others say he come from Caroline, but I know John Henry was a Brooklyn man, and he worked on the B&T subway line, worked on the B&T line. When they were digging at Underground Railway, and the rock and the earth wouldn't yield, he picked up a hammer, took a mighty backswing, and he came up in Ebbets Field, Lord God, came up in Ebbets Field. Well, a ball game it was in progress, with the Giants winning 5-2. Brooklyn had three runners on base, but nary a hitter in view, Lord God, nary a hitter in view. Well, John Henry said, don't you worry. Johnny Henry said, don't you care. He picked himself up a mighty hickory bat and started fanning breezes in the air, Lord God, fanning those breezes in the air. Well, the pitcher, he went into his windup, and he threw what he thought was strike one. John Henry took a cut at the very first pitch and drove that ball into the sun, Lord God, drove that old ball into the sun. Well, the sun, it went into hiding, and the rain come a-pouring down. Before that deluge hit the earth, John Henry was a-circling around, Lord God. John Henry was a-circling around. So they put John Henry on his shoulders, and they carried him to Borough Hall. The borough president offered a reward to the man who could find that ball, Lord God. The man who could find that ball. Well, the Dodgers moved to California, try to take John Henry along. He told him, keep your gold rush out on the coast, 'cause Brooklyn is the place where I belong, Lord God. Brooklyn is the place where I belong. Then he went back to work on the subway, swung his hammer for the BMT. He struck the third rail a mighty shattering blow, and he lit up like a Christmas tree, Lord God. He lit up like a Christmas tree. Well, they took his body to the ballpark, and they filed past one by one. And as they lowered him into the ground, that ball came down from the sun, Lord God. That baseball came down from the sun. Well, that's a tale of John Henry. You might have heard it another way, but every time you cross that Brooklyn Bridge, they'll tell you just how John Henry saved the day, Lord God. Just how John Henry saved the day.
You know, every time Marty comes on the show, which is about once every two or three weeks, I get this terrible urge to revert to type. I don't know whether you know what my type is, but I want to tell you, every time, Marty, every time you finish that song, or one of your songs, I get this feeling of saying, you've been listening to big old lonesome wandering Marty, coming this way from the Midwestern hayride, brought to you by the Purina Chick Chow Company. For those of you who are having trouble with laying chicks and laying hens, it's Purina Chick Chow every time. And the Peoria Rockdale Monument Corporation is making available to those of you out there who have a loved one lying in a grave tonight, in an unmarked grave, because you can't afford a headstone for them, Yes, to those of you who have an unmarked grave in your family, the Peoria Rockdale Monument Corporation is making absolutely free of charge a four-color catalog that shows a beautiful selection of headstones with movable type and many sentimental inscriptions that can be yours. And now the International Bible Corporation of Westchester, Texas, makes available to those of you who would love to have a Bible with bulletproof covers. A Bible... Well, as a matter of fact, as you can see, I've been there. And I have a vague feeling that I'm going to have to answer for many sins when I arrive up at that great... Can you imagine yourself, though, seriously? You know, that's a funny idea. We always think of these things in the total abstract. And we... You know, there's the feeling that somewhere, someplace along the line, we're going to have to pay for our sins. All the things you did are somewhere, someplace being compiled in a book. Your service record. Well, can you imagine what yours looks like? No, seriously, can you see your little book, your little service record? And one of them is... Let's say one of them is Passion Purple. They have two books. One of them is Passion Purple, and the other one is white. And the white, beautiful one, it looks like this alabaster. That's the book where they keep the beautiful things you have done in life. And the other one is where all your evils are recorded. Which one would be fatter? Seriously, can you imagine? There's a chick that's really, she's worried. Well, now, see, we put all this down because, you know, we say, well, we're modern, we're very modern, enlightened people. We do not believe in such things as original sin. We do not believe in such things as absolute morality. We don't believe in these things. Right, gang? We don't, do we? No, that's right. We don't want any of them books, do we? They're not keeping a book on all the stuff we've done, have they? No. Will we all together please yell one just once? It'll be somehow, maybe it'll reach the destination just once. Holler, help! 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 Oh, boy, you tap that and it'll go. But, no, really, seriously... Can you imagine yourself arriving at this great big bar of justice? And they look down at you. They, it, whatever it is, looks down at you, says, uh-huh. Uh-huh. A Village Voice reader, huh? A Jonas Mekas fan, eh? Uh-huh. I suppose you think you're an art lover, eh? Guy spent the last 14 years watching art films. Well, art lover, we have a book here, and we're going to start looking down the files here and see where you first made your first mistake. Uh-huh. Let's see. You were age 7. You say 7? What? 7? He says, yes, and you know, don't you? But 7, I was only a kid. No, you weren't. Don't give me that cop out. At the age of 7, you went down to George's candy store... And you stole a copy of Spicy Detective. All right, literature fan. That was the beginning. And then there was this ad that appeared in Popular Mechanics. I quote, art students, 50 poses. You must be over 21. You were 9. And then you know you're sunk. They've got it all down. And after about 20 minutes of reading, I could just see all of us just standing up there. Just don't go on. Send me. I'll go, I'll go. That's where all my friends are anyway. I'll go. They're all down there. Flick, Bruner, and they're all there. And he says, wait. Just a minute, art lover. Just a minute, beauty fan. You are not going there. Can you imagine the terrible fear that would come into your mind to realize you're going to heaven? You're not going there. He says, where am I going? He says, well, how are you on music? Do you play any instruments? Guy says, no, I don't play. You don't want to tell him about your kazoo. You can't imagine yourself in heaven throughout eternity playing a B-flat kazoo. He says, you'll learn. Well, I want to tell you that I suspect most of us right now in this room would be insulted by St. Peter if he says you're going to heaven. You'd say, what do you mean? Because everyone thinks he's been really rotten, you know. He says, son, greasy kid stuff. And then you wonder what you missed. You wonder what the real swingers were doing. And the terrible thought is that always secretly you have felt you were missing. You know, most of us, you know, wouldn't it be great, seriously though, there are seven deadly sins. Wouldn't you like to be the first in your neighborhood to invent a new one? I mean, really a brand new one. I'm a cosmic one. And you invent this thing and it's fantastic. And wow, you stagger around. Immediately you'd know it's a sin. I know that the first guy that had a drink of scotch knew he was doing something wrong. I mean, believe me, first guy, you'd stagger on. And can you imagine yourself hiding it to keep your neighbors from finding out? And then it begins to spread like wildfire, the new sin. They have to rewrite the whole book. Well, let me tell you about sin. This is a thing that's bugged everybody all the time. There's no question. You know, you sit here and laugh. It is a word that is rarely used in today's lexicon. Rarely. In fact, have you noticed there are a lot of words that aren't used, like ignorant. Nobody's ignorant. He's all underprivileged. He's always underprivileged. Nobody's dumb. They're always underachieved. You know, there's no such thing as just a slob anymore. All these words have disappeared, and along with them has the word sin disappeared. Well, it has disappeared as a word. We don't use it anymore. No one says, oh, there goes Charlie. What a sinner he is. No, you don't say that. Say, there goes Charlie. Boy, there's a real swinger. You know. Oh yeah, this is the Playboy ideal. And the word has disappeared. Sin, good, evil, all those things have gone down. Well, let me tell you, it's funny. There are little pockets in the Midwest where it remains. They haven't gotten it. They haven't gotten the message yet, you know. They really haven't. They're still living someplace in the far distant past when there were dumb kids. There were bright kids. There were spoiled brats. You know, that's another thing. Have you noticed ever since Spock, the spoiled brat, has disappeared, there's only bad parents. That's fascinating. And yet, almost every parent I knew who was a rotten parent was a spoiled brat. And he's producing a spoiled brat, you know. And so, with the coming of Spock and various other organs of this kind, there have disappeared from our nomenclature all the great words, like sin. Another word that's disappeared, that is almost completely gone, is cheating. Nobody cheats. Not really. Did you notice recently everybody got very mad because a West Point cadet was kicked out for cheating in an exam? Did you read that? They caught this guy. He had notes on the back of his ears, on his shoes. He had them written on his contact lenses. He had the whole scene going, see, and they caught him and they threw him out. And there was a great hue and cry, and now he's sitting back there with a smug look. They got him in, you know, because there's no such thing anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you, since this is exam time, there's a lot of sinners out there tonight. Oh, yeah, and they're getting even more. They're really, oh, seriously, you know, the most creative exam cheater that I ever saw in my life, I just ran into 2 years ago. The electronic world, fellas, has gotten into the exam cheating business. I know a guy who had a little Japanese transistor radio, which he had rebuilt. And he had it there, and he pretended he was listening to the Mets games. And outside the campus was his buddy with a walkie-talkie. And he was saying, E is equal to 2 pi f squared over LD minus 7. That is the multiple dipole equation for elliptical waveforms. You got it, Charlie? And Charlie would press the button. E, got it, see? He'd press them once, repeat, boop. This guy passed with a fantastic record. I want to tell you one little story about me that is involved in the exam. Most people are afraid of show business. Most people. Because they can't imagine themselves getting up in front of a lot of other people naked, just sheer naked, and says, watch how funny I'm going to be. Watch me sing now, folks. I'm going to tell you funny jokes. Boy, that strikes terror into your heart. And so generally most people adjust and say, ah, that rotten showbiz. Those are all rotten people, you know? Rotten, aggressive people in showbiz. And the most operative form of audition is the exam. Believe me, you know that terrible, terrible moment of truth when you are about to approach the Latin 3 exam and your head has just been buzzing for a semester. You know that terrible feeling of sitting in a class and your eyes, you can't keep them open, and there's one of these teachers that just goes, the bell goes and you get up, you wake up, you're staggering down, but you have had 55 minutes of quadrilateral equation, and there's nothing but this hum in your ear. Well, of course, it goes on, and in the beginning of the semester, you have a feeling that you're going to win, you know? Somewhere along the line, you're going to catch on. But then, about somewhere at a crucial point, this is the point of no return, literally, you suddenly realize with a faint, sick, fantastic sickness in your stomach, you don't even know what identities mean. They're using phrases like identities. Give me the following equations for the following identity. What the hell's he talking about? And you see these convolutions are going together. Time is undoing you, you see. It's getting closer and closer to the talk. That day, you can't escape. Well, let me tell you one time, I am in the Army. I am in a university. I am taking a university course. I have been out in the field. I have been brought back from a shell hole. They have sent me to the university. I am now in this university. They have given me 37 hours of solids. Oh, it was fantastic. All the guys with me. And they tell us, you fail one course, and it's the 102nd Infantry, Jack. Now, and you're going by airplane, and you're going to land by parachute. And boy, can you imagine going into an exam with that riding on you? Well, let me tell you, one course has always totally eluded me. Chemistry. I don't understand it. And there's always some smart guys with glasses who know all about it. They had it in high school or something, you know?
And there goes... Yes, of course. N.A. Valence 2 minus 7. Blah, 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 blah. Eat, blah, blah. They write it up, and I'm thrown, you know, all the way through. I'm faking it, and I'm phonying it, and all of a sudden, the day came for the exam. The final. I didn't know anything. And it was an exam in organic chemistry. All I knew were things like salt and carbon. I knew there was something called carbon compounds. So that night, the whole night, I stayed up. I read in my little cell, my uniform. I'm sweating. Oh, God, the 102nd. They call it the Bulldozer Infantry Division. They call it Old Bull. Oh, 102nd. I'm reading. Well, during the semester, you always pick up 3 or 4 or maybe 8 or 9 little isolated facts. And there I walk in. I'm sick. It's one of these amphitheater places. And I look down, and there is that professor up there. And he says, all right, here are your exam questions, 10 of them. A, B, C, 10. I looked down. I couldn't believe it. It was the only 10 things I knew. Fantastic! I mean, it was like God had said, Shepherd is not going to the 102nd. And I write it down, and I'm writing real fast. I think he's going to erase it, you know. I'm writing it down, you know. I'm writing like mad. And I put the paper down. He takes a look at it, and he says, you know, he took one look at it. And he says, Shepherd, he says, I knew, even though you were in the last row, and you were in, I knew you were one of my best students. Well, we'll be back next week from the limelight. Thank you for coming.
This is WOR Radio, your station for news. If you've ever seen a youngster on his way to camp, you'll agree he's just about the happiest person alive as he dreams of the swimming and hiking, of all the outdoor fun he's about to enjoy. Unfortunately, for some boys from New York's East Side, camp is only a dream. But your dollars can make this dream come true, for one boy at least. The Boys Club of New York desperately needs contributions to send some 1,000 boys to their new Camp Harriman in the beautiful forests of the Catskill Mountains, and they're asking for help. Just $26 will treat one boy to a week in camp, a week away from the heat and noise of the city, a week of carefree fun and good, healthy country living. Won't you give some East Side boy this chance to enjoy the kind of vacation he needs and dreams of? Send your contribution tonight to the Boys Club of New York, Box 77, New York 9, New York. And thank you so much.